pastor, author, and Bible teacher, Alan Wright.
This God dwells inside of us. He's not only a big God, he's an intricate God. He is a detailed God. He is big, but he is small.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series called Ephesians, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program today, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. So as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org. That's PastorAlan.org. Or call 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Every line of Ephesians is absolutely pregnant with the power of the gospel. And I know I say it every week, but today we read a portion of scripture which is one of my favorites and one of the most magnificent messages of hope that you could ever hear. It is extraordinary. We pick up reading in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. A little boy came home from church, and his dad said, "Well, what'd you do in Sunday school today?" And he said, "We learned about Moses and Pharaoh and the people of God escaping from Egypt." And the dad said, "Oh, well, okay, well, how did it all come about? Tell me the story." And the boy said, "Well, you see, Moses and his people and their army were on the run out of Egypt, but they got to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh and his big army were pressing in upon them. And so the Israeli army called in their corps of engineers, and they built a big pontoon bridge across the Red Sea. And they took all of their soldiers and all of their people across the bridge, and they had some helicopters hovering. And at the right moment, once all the Israelis had gotten to the other side, the Egyptians started coming across the bridge, and Moses said, "Fire." And so they started firing on that bridge, and they tore down the bridge, and it collapsed, and all of the Egyptians fell down into the sea and drowned. And so it was, people of God escaped. And the father said, "Are you sure that's what your Sunday school teacher told you?" And the boy said, "Nah, but if I told you what she said, you'd never believe it." You ready for some good news? The gospel is better than we can imagine. God is bigger than we can conceive. And it culminates at verse 22 with this absolutely mind-bending gospel truth that amongst all the things that Paul has been saying about who you are in Christ, it comes to this moment of crescendo in which Paul says, you have been made the dwelling place of God. I said, you have been made the dwelling place of God. Now, let's just pause and think about that for a moment. We're talking about you and I, and together as the church, become the very habitation of God himself. Are you kidding me? This is the God who made everything that exists. Remember back when we studied in Genesis and I began to talk about the size of the cosmos. I mean, it's so mind-bending. Maybe you remember this. The earth, so small compared to our sun. You can put a million earths into our sun. That means that if you compare our earth to a golf ball, if you were to get the size of the sun relative to that, you'd have to fill up a school bus full of golf balls. That would be our sun. And yet our sun is a medium-sized star, but you start getting into a star like Canis Majoris, the great dog star, the big dog star. And what we learned is that if you were to take the same comparison, the earth is like a golf ball, and you want to see how big by comparison is the big dog star, instead of filling up a school bus like you would with our sun, you would have to fill up Mount Everest with golf balls. That's how big that star is. And we find out that we've got about 100 billion stars in just the Milky Way, and there's about 10 billion such galaxies that we now know of. He's a big God. This God dwells inside of us. He's not only a big God, he's an intricate God. He is a detailed God. He is big, but he is small. Not only is it amazing how big things are, it's amazing how small things are. I learned that just one mole of water, just about 3.5 teaspoons of water, has 6 × 10²³ molecules in it. 10²³ is a number that's too big to understand. But I would just say this, if you went out to the Grand Strand Beach, if you went down to Myrtle Beach and you looked on that straight, long beach, as far as you could see to the left and as far as you could see to the right on a clear day, and the tide is low, and if you could count every grain of sand that you could see, one direction this way, one direction that way, if you could count every one of those grains of sand that you could see, it would not equal 10². And there's 6 × 10²³ molecules in just one small swallow of water. This is a number that, well, if they were marshmallows, 6 × 10², and you covered the earth with marshmallows, you would cover the earth 5 miles deep with marshmallows. That's how many molecules are in one swallow of water. And God knows every electron inside of every one of those molecules. And he knows every grain of sand. He is huge, and yet he is invisible, and he is beyond our understanding. And he dwells in you and me. This is a tall tale that we are telling. I want this morning to describe to you how it is that Paul comes to this amazing statement that it's possible that you, church, have become the dwelling place of God. And I want to do so by, instead of trying to make it somehow more reasonable, I want to tell the story once again in all of its unbelievable majesty. Because the gospel is improbable, it is by human standards impossible, it is inconceivable, it is infinitely far-reaching, it is massively complex in its dimensions, and yet so simple that a child can embrace it. It is exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that we could ask or think, and yet it is true.
That's Alan Wright, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
How you see yourself determines how you live.
In an 11-message series, Pastor Alan Wright takes you on a thrilling journey through the letter to the Ephesians. It'll flood your soul with good news and empower you to discover who you are in Christ. When you make your donation to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll not only send you the digital downloads of the entire transformational Ephesians series, but we'll also send you a printable copy of Pastor Alan's booklet highlighting the most important scriptures about your identity in Christ. Make your gift today and discover a whole new way of seeing your life.
Isn't it time to finally find out who you really are? Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
When we were in Papua, and we're on the little island, Long Island, there that you've been hearing me tell about, and if you haven't heard me tell any stories over the last few weeks, we were there for a Bible dedication, some missionaries we've been supporting for 27 years that had learned a language of this people on this 15-mile wide island, and about 3,000 people that speak the Arab Lokep language. And they learned the language. They put the language into writing. They translated a New Testament and taught the people to read. And they were getting their very first Bible. And my daughter and I were able to go and be there. And so, as I told you, I reserve the right to give two illustrations a week from that trip for the next 6 months. Here's the first of today's two. So, we're there, and one of the things that Jeff DeJarnis, the missionary, did was he had the opportunity to introduce us to his translation team. So what a missionary does who works with translation work is you have to find some local people there that will end up being very close with you. And these are the ones that you walk around with and say, you know, what do you call a banana? And they say the word, and you start with that. And but then he's worked with them for many years. Now, one particular man called Joe had been working with him for a long time and had worked with him all throughout the whole translation of the New Testament. And so Joe was the first one that he introduced. And by this time, Joe's becoming an older man. He's got a big gray beard. I actually got to talk to Joe some. He knows a little bit of English, and I actually caught a little interview on video with him. Maybe sometime I'll show it to you. But he introduced Joe, and he said how thankful he was for Joe and what good work he did. And then he told this story. He said that early on, one time he was with Joe, and it was a beautiful night, the sky clear, and the moon was shining brightly. And he looked up in the sky and he said, "Joe, what is that?" And Joe said, "That's whatever the Arab Lokep word is for moon." And Jeff said, "No, I know it. You call it whatever they call it. I know that's what you call it." He said, "But what is that?" He was asking him, "What is the moon?" And Joe said, "Well, what my father told me is that one night he went out and he threw his spear up so far that it went and got stuck in the sky. And that light up there is the tip end of his spear that shines back down on us. That's what my father told me." He said, "What did your father tell you?" And in order to understand Jeff's story, you got to know that the Arab Lokep word for airplane, really anything that would fly in the sky, is bird. And so that's important to understand what then Jeff told him. He said, "Well, Joe," he said, "what my father told me is that there was a bird and it took off from the earth with fire coming behind it. And it shot up way into the sky further than you can see. And in the head of the bird, there were some men. And then the body of the bird broke off. But the head of the bird kept on flying, and it slung around the earth and went up to the moon, and the head of the bird came down and landed onto the moon. And they got out in a canoe with four wheels, and they roved around, and they didn't see any palm trees and no coconuts, no bananas, and no oceans, and no water. All they saw was some dust and some rocks, And so they brought back some rocks and put it into the head of the bird, left the canoe with four wheels, and the head of the bird took back off of the moon and came back down to earth. And they told us that really the moon is mainly just some dust and some rocks. That's what my father told me. And I just loved hearing this, because if I were old Joe, I would have probably said, my story is more believable than your story. I mean, you know, you tell me that some people got inside a head of a bird and flew up to the moon and went around a lunar rover and came back down to earth with some rocks. I think I'll go with my spear stuck in the sky story. The point of this being is, just because a tale is tall, you got two tall tales, but one of them was true. Interesting side point. Joe was very concerned about what happened to that canoe with four wheels. He said, the canoe with four wheels is still up there? Jeff said, yes, it is. Speaking of the lunar rover. And he said, perfectly good canoe with four wheels on it. Nobody's got it. Who's it belong to? And Jeff thought about it for a moment. He said, well, Americans put that on the moon. And he said, I'm an American, so in a sense, it's mine. I give it to you, Joe. You can go get it anytime you want to. So if you ever wondered, Joe from Papua New Guinea owns the lunar rover that is on the moon to this day. The stories that we hear in life often revolve around a tale in which there are opposing groups, and yet something great could happen to bring peace. And there's something in our hearts that celebrates the peacemaker who could somehow mediate. And history is full of division and war, as is our present day in many places, so urgent around the world. But one of the places where there continues to be conflict, and we continue to pray even today for the Middle East. But this conflict between Jew and Gentile goes back so deep that the roots are hard to even fathom how far back it goes. And the answer to the division of the world is one that is a tall tale, but it's true. And what I want to suggest to you today is that the call for the Christian church today in proclaiming the gospel is not to present a gospel that is toned down and domesticated and made more palatable to the Western rational mind. That what we need to do is tell the story in all of its glory. J.B. Phillips' title of his book was a good one, Your God is Too Small. Let's tell the tale as tall as it really is. So the problem of division amongst people is one that is so deep and so complex that no human being has been able to fix this, right? No government seems to be able to fix it. And we have some leaders who are better than others at being able to help people reach compromises and reconcile with one another. But what Paul is describing here is something that is far greater than anything we've ever seen in any human government or human agency. He actually says that people that were absolute enemies not only learned to get along together, but actually became like one new breed of people. And as this new third type of humanity became the dwelling place of God, that's what he's saying. And he's not saying anything less than that. Divisions take many forms. One of the divisions, of course, that we see in humanity is just where there is just the sin of selfishness, and people hurt other people in order for their own gain. This is the source, basically, of crime. When we were in the capital city of Port Moresby, basically we stayed at a missionary guest house that was surrounded by a big fence. And some of the staff there would attend to the gate, and nobody could come in unless we knew who they were, because it's just not secure. You've been in places like that before. They said, you can't walk in the street. They said, don't even call a taxi if you don't know who it is that's driving you. They said, it's just not safe here, unfortunately. And so you have a big fence. If there are dangers between humanity under humanity, we build walls over that. That's one form of the kind of hostility. But there's a deeper kind of dividing wall that can grow between people, and that's an ideological wall. I have over in my office, I have a little piece of the Berlin Wall. A friend of mine was there, was a soldier, and he brought back a little piece of that wall. It's got some red graffiti on it, and I keep it as a symbol of the coming down of a wall that was so confining in its ideologies, and how it is that big walls can come down. It's a symbol of faith, but there was an ideological difference there in the midst of East and West Berlin. And so it is that any time that there's an ideological difference, people are essentially saying, we think this is the best way to live. We think this is the right way to think. And some people think this, some people think that. And so we just have conflicts, right? So you have people, and some people say, I think we need to have more government. Some people say, we need less government. We have ideological differences about this. And so we have deep divides that come over ideologies. But what I want to speak to you about is something that's deeper than just the mere hostilities that arise because people are selfish and they tend to harm other people in order for selfish gain, and it's even deeper than the ideological differences that we have. And this is the deep and foundational difference between the gospel redeemed people and those who are apart from Christ, is that apart from Christ, essentially, we are always going to have this division between people, that there is going to be a group of people that thinks essentially we are better than you are. The idea that we are better than you, this is deep-seated in humanity, and thus all kinds of factions, groups, and loyalties and associations develop that end up in one way or another distancing themselves, creating hostility and all manner of prejudice against other people.
Ellen Wright. Today's teaching, You're the Dwelling Place of God. It's from the scripture and the overall series from Ephesians. We've got more from Alan in the studio with additional insight for your life coming up.
Just who do you think you are? Now really, think about it. How do you see yourself?
If you see yourself as a sinner, cursed by your failures,
then you'll be anxious and exhausted.
But if you see yourself as a saint, blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, then you'll be confident and free.
How you see yourself determines how you live.
In an 11-message series, Pastor Alan Wright takes you on a thrilling journey through the letter to the Ephesians. It'll flood your soul with good news and empower you to discover who you are in Christ. When you make your donation to Alan Wright Ministries today, we'll not only send you the digital downloads of the entire transformational Ephesians series, but we'll also send you a printable copy of Pastor Alan's booklet highlighting the most important scriptures about your identity in Christ. Make your gift today and discover a whole new way of seeing your life.
Isn't it time to finally find out who you really are? Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Alan, our teaching today, and it's going to continue in part two next time, is You're the Dwelling Place of God. And this is where some of us may get kind of tripped up, and we either go on a legalistic road of do's and don'ts, because after all, this is the dwelling place of God. But how can we live in full life of this knowledge?
As we were just learning, so much of the divisions in this world, and we know in our own country, we've never seen a more divided time. When people begin to think they're more than someone else, or someone feels less than someone The whole symbol of who was allowed into the outer court in the temple and the inner court, there's a Gentile court, a women's court, a Jewish men's court, a priest court, and then the high priest's inner court. What has happened in God reconciling us unto himself is that it's extraordinary, but he says that we, the body of Christ, individually and together, have become the new temple. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the dwelling place. We don't have an outer court and an inner court and a who can come into this court and divisions between this person and that person. But instead, all of that is eliminated. For anybody who's in Christ, now we're one. This is the healing message that our nation needs, Daniel. When we come together in Christ, we're all made the dwelling place of God himself, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And boy, I'll tell you, if we could get this message into the hearts of every man, woman, boy, and girl,
It would be the end of our prejudices, and it would be the healing of the nation.
Today's Good News message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.